For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Jesus spoke frequently about the kingdom of heaven. This phrase suggests that there is a citizenship which is not tied to political or geographical bounds as we know them on earth. As we will hear from Pastor Holland today, the kingdom of heaven is not only future, but can be experienced as we live our earthly lives. Look with us at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, as we begin part 1 of the parable of the treasure and the pearl.
Well, I've been preaching on parables, and we'll continue that thought today. If you have your Bibles in Matthew chapter 13, you know Jesus in his day, he had a special way about teaching the Word of God. He would relate, and I think today that's something that we ought to try to do as we preach the Word of God. We ought to try to relate to people where they are. I never want to be one that preaches above somebody's head, and I don't think that'll be possible because it'd be hard for me to, as simple as I am. But I tell you, no greater compliment could be to me than for somebody to walk out the door and say, your message is so simple that I really understand it. I want you to understand, and Jesus, too, wanted his disciples, as well as the people he ministered to understand what he was saying. So if you have your Bibles, let's read these two parables together, and then we'll go back and begin to look at them. He said in verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he refers to in verse 44 and 45 as the kingdom of heaven. Somebody said, what is the kingdom of heaven? Is it the time in the future when the Lord himself will come back and set up a millennial reign upon this earth that we call the millennial, and or even the time that we're in heaven? Is that the kingdom of heaven? Yes. You said, is that all it is? And I'd say no. I believe the moment that we as Christians become a child of God, I believe we begin to, in a sense, live in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not saying today this world is the kingdom of heaven, but I am saying today, as long as we serve him and are obedient to him, we're looking down to the road when the Lord Jesus will come again and take us home to be with him. When a person is saved by God's grace, God establishes a kingdom in his life, and he leads and guides him as he serves him. So the kingdom of God, it is the sovereignty, it's the kingship, and it's the actual rule of God over his people. And by the way, the Bible said when we get saved, we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is his. And truly today, we're not our own, but we have been bought with a price. Today, my citizenship is in heaven, because the day I got saved, I became a citizen of the heaven that God has prepared for me through his Son, Jesus Christ, that came and died in order that I might live there. And I want you to know today, although I'm looking forward to what God is doing and what he will do, I'm looking forward one day to being in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, because I truly have become a citizen of heaven. When I got saved, I'm glad today that God gave me someone, not something or a thing, but God gave me someone in the person of the Holy Spirit of God to lead me and guide me as I lived upon this earth. I'm glad today that when I don't understand things in the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of me and teaches me. I'm glad when there's times of tragedy and sorrow in my life, the Holy Spirit comes along beside of me and comforts me. I'm glad to know today that not only am I a citizen of heaven, living in a world that is definitely a long way from the kingdom of heaven and what it should be, but by the grace of God, by my citizenship, and by the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, I can abide in the kingdom of heaven. We are changed by the Spirit of God. I remember the day I got saved, and the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is, listen, a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. I want you to know that I'm grateful grateful today, it doesn't mean that all our sin nature's gone. Doesn't mean we won't never sin. But what it does mean is that we are changed, because we'll have different desires with a different idea of doing what God would have us to do through the Holy Spirit. He not only saved me, gave my citizenship, gave me the Holy Spirit of God, not only changed my life, but He gives me the ability to serve Him and to be faithful to Him in this day and age. In other words, the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ in the kingdom of heaven, I believe, as we look forward to Him. So again, remind you that the kingdom of heaven is God's rule over all things. It's His rule over the future reign of Jesus, His sovereign rule over the lives of the people of God. And I believe that it's important for us to understand that and see that today. Now, with this thought in mind, I would like to try to take these verses of Scripture and unfold them in what I believe the Lord is teaching to us today. The first parable that we see, we find here in verse number 43. In verse number 44... Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth the field. Now, the image here is the parable of the hidden treasure. The image seems a little foreign to us, and it might be hard to understand. Now, there might be some older people that might can relate to this a little better than some of the young people can. For you see, back in that day, and in the time in which they lived, and by the way, I remember this even as a kid. I don't hear too many people say it anymore, but have you ever heard somebody say, well, I got my money in a jar buried in the backyard? Well, years ago, and I know we did have them, I think, when I was a little boy, but back in the day, they lived, there was no banks, there was no organization as far as handling the money, and so what people did is they would take their treasure and they would go and bury it in the yard or in somewhere around their land. They would bury it in order that it might be there as a safeguard. When they needed something, they would go to it, open it up, they'd get out what they needed, they'd put it back. And so understanding that, realizing that in that day, they had a lot of buried treasure around that a lot of people didn't know about except the people that had put it there. We find that for many centuries, the land of Israel had been a battlefield. It had been invaded. It had been overtaken by foreign powers. And when that happens, people are scattered. They run away from the places where they are. So it's probably possible that some of the people that had buried treasure was killed. It may have been that some that had buried treasure may have got run off their land. And so this treasure lays dormant for years in this place, and nobody knows it's there, and nobody realizes that it's even in that place. Josephus, in his writing, and by the way, he was a historian, he said, the gold and silver and the rest of the most precious furniture which the Jews had and which the owners treasured underground was done to withstand the fortunes of war. When the pilgrims landed in the New World, they saw the Indians that was there, and the native Indians, they began to watch them. And the Indians did something that was quite strange and quite unusual. What they did was they would take their corn, and they was raising their corn. They would take the corn that they could use, and then what they couldn't use, they would dry it, and they would place it in animal skins. They would take it, dig a hole, and bury it in it, and then when they needed it, they would come again and get it. Well, the pilgrims got a little bit anxious about that and said, I wonder what they're doing. And so they went and dug up their treasure, and they found the corn, and they took it, and they used it. And as you might well imagine, that might be many reasons why the North American natives saw the pilgrims as a threat to their way of life. So many in Israel would hide those things that was precious in the soil, and their wealth they would hide away in order that they might one time come back and get it. Now, as I mentioned before, the land would change hands. Here's a man, we don't know a lot about him. In fact, one verse does not give us a great detail about it. But what we do know is the Bible said there was a man. And the man found a hidden treasure, a treasure hid in a field. I don't know where he was. I don't know what he was doing there. But obviously, I picture the idea of a man walking through somebody else's field, and he sees the corner of a box sticking up, And so out of curiosity, he maybe looks in the box. I think that probably he did, as we'll see what the rest of the thing tells us, the verse tells us. Obviously he looked and he saw what it is and saw how great it was. And when he did, he put it back in the ground, covered it up maybe a little better than he did when he started. And so he went away, and the Bible said that he sold everything that he had, came back, and he bought the land. Now, understand with me today, we would first ask the question, why did he not go and tell the owner about what he had found? Truly today, if we find money or places or things, oftentimes we go somewhere and I find something, I take it to the office or wherever and say, somebody lost this, and they may come looking for it, but he didn't do that in this case. Now, some people question the ethics of this man. What in the world was he thinking? Was he going to take advantage of this? But I want to ease your mind a little bit about that. We don't know the man. We don't even know his name. But we don't need to be too hard on him this morning, because I want to share with you some things about this. It's not unethical, nor was it dishonest in what he did. First of all, it seems obvious that the man who owned the field was unaware of his treasure. If the man would have never told him, the man would have never found it probably, and it would have remained there for a long time. And so again, the man didn't know what he had. He didn't know what was on the land. And as a result, the man didn't tell him. The second thing we find in that day, the rabbinical law governed from day to day in Israel, that if a man finds scattered fruit or money, it belongs to the finder. Now, if the person found money or valuables that was obviously lost and whose owner was dead or unknown, the finder had the right to keep what he owned or what he had found. So he didn't tell the man that owned the land. And we find that he came back to the point. Obviously, even in this case, he did not take it. He did not keep it. And then here's the thing that I believe relieves him from all accusations. It seems clear that honestly, this man must have been an honest man, because the Bible said that he went and sold everything that he had in order that he might not get the treasure, but that he might buy the land. Now, buying the land, granted, he would get the treasure. But yet, instead of literally, think about it, he could have took that which was not his, and no one would have ever known about it. But in all honesty, and according to the rabbinical law and all that was there, he realized the importance of buying the land first. And so that's what he did. He gave everything that he had. He sold all that he had in order that he might obtain the treasure. The second parable that we come to in verse 45 and 46 is somewhat different. It describes a merchant man. The Bible said, verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, this man probably was a merchant man. He probably traveled from place to place buying and selling pearls. It was probably his way of life. But this particular merchant began looking for this great pearl, and he found a pearl of great price. And the man goes and sells everything that he has in order to buy it. Now, obviously, he had come to the coastal regions. He was there to negotiate with the divers and those who were bringing the pearl in. But understand, for that pearl to be obtained, especially in this day, it was most difficult for somebody to get it. But along with the scarcity and the natural beauty, the pearls were expensive because of what it cost those who obtained them.
You've been listening to part one of the parable of the treasure and the pearl. Have you made your citizenship in heaven? You can be sure of your heavenly home today. Please call or write to us if we can help you accept God's gift of salvation. Join us again next week as we continue this message, The Parable of the Treasure and the Pearl. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live.
Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.